17. Philip's trip to meet with Britt the Elder was actually rather pleasant. Once he realized that neither of the guards escorting him had any idea why she wanted to see him, their conversation turned to a more pleasant subject, Martin. Ampic spent the entire trip asking Philip pointed questions about Martin, questions Philip was happy to answer.
"He's impulsive," Philip said. "He acts without thinking. He makes the same mistakes over and over, and when he finally does learn his lesson, he often forgets it within a few hours."
"He sounds irritating," Ampic said.
"Oh yes, he'll irritate you."
"You don't seem to like him much."
"On the contrary, he's quickly becoming my best friend," Philip said.
"If he's irritating and stupid, why be friends with him?"
"Oh, he's not stupid, just a slow learner. Stupid people are useless. Slow learners are tremendous fun to jerk around."
Finally, they arrived at Britt the Elder's patio, where he had first arrived in Atlantis just the day before. There was a table, two chairs, two empty glasses, and a pitcher of some refreshing-looking reddish drink. The two guards took their leave of Philip, telling him that Britt the Elder would be with him shortly. Philip walked to the railing and looked up at the city. It was getting close to evening. Due to the unique, bowl-like shape of Atlantis, most of the city was in shadow. Only one part of the city still had direct sunlight, a small crescent along the far upper rim. The darkness of the rest of town made it stand out even more. The sky was a brilliant blue disk overhead, and the city was dark and cool. Lights were slowly beginning to come on, just a few for now, but with each passing moment there were more, and as they did, the buildings themselves glowed. You could see light and shadow moving within the buildings, not so well that you could tell what was happening, but enough to let you know that something was going on, and that it seemed pleasant. Philip wondered about the lights. He knew that his quarters had artificial lights, Britt's did as well. He knew that the vast majority of the people who lived in Atlantis didn't have the powers that he and his magical, time-traveling kind did. He wondered if they used candles, oil lamps, or some other lighting method he didn't know about. Philip was startled when a voice behind him said,
"Magical."
He jumped, then spun around to see Britt the Elder standing behind him. He still couldn't get used to it. She had the same face, the same glasses. The hairstyle was different, but the hair color was the same.
"The lights," Britt clarified. "They're magical. Computer-generated, if you prefer to call it that."
She walked to the railing, standing closer to Philip than he was comfortable with. He was happy to have her stand that close, which is what made him uncomfortable.
"Of course," Britt continued, "all of their methods of creating light before I got here were variations on the theme of burning something. It's really dangerous and wasteful when you think about it. Instead, I set up light sources. You make a light, make a switch, tell the system that one controls the other. You know how it works. You use the same basic technique to make the lights in your rumpus room."
Philip looked down at her.
"You've known about my rumpus room?"
Britt replied,
"Philip, I've ridden in your Fiero."
Philip noticed that she had the same smile as Britt the Younger as well.
"Anyway, when people move to Atlantis, part of the bargain is that they get free light, heat, garbage, and waste removal. It's funny. I became a time traveler and a sorceress just to end up going into the utilities business."
"So, all of the city's necessary functions are handled by magic," Philip said. "That answers a lot of my questions. But don't the locals want to know how things work?"
"Did the modern people we left behind?"
Philip said,
"Yes, they did. The libraries were full of books about how every single thing in the world worked."
Britt took Philip by the arm and led him across the patio to the table. She did it so smoothly that he didn't even notice it was happening until they were almost there.
"Yes, that's true," Britt said. "But how many people actually read those books? How many know how to rewire a lamp or fix their own toilet?"
They reached the table. Britt poured two glasses of whatever the reddish drink was, and they both had a seat. Britt continued.
People say that they want to know how things work, but really, most of them just want to know why things work.
Why they work?
Philip asked.
Yes,
Britt said.
You know, I flip the switch and the lamp turns on because of electricity. Or I put gas in the car, it burns and the car moves. Or I press this thingy, that thingy lights up because Britt made it work with magic. It's all the same to them. Please have a drink.
Britt took a long drink from her glass. Philip followed suit.
What is this?
He asked.
I see. I've loved the stuff ever since I was a kid.
Britt took another appreciative drink, then spent a moment silently studying Philip. Finally, she asked,
How'd you like the giant squid?
Philip was surprised. Then he was surprised at himself for being surprised.
The squid was amazing, he said. I could have done without the swim afterwards, though.
Yes,
Britt agreed.
Not a pleasant way to end the trip, but still memorable.
Clearly, since you seem to remember it,
Philip said. Every time Philip thought Britt's smile was as bright as it could be, it found a way to get a bit brighter.
Yes, I remember it well. I only took you to see the coral reef because it seemed like a nice, touristy kind of thing to show you. I was happy when it bored you. Your reaction to the squid made me even happier. It was good of you to listen to my whining. Sorry about that.
Philip bristled a bit.
I wouldn't call it whining. Britt the younger has some legitimate complaints.
Britt the elder shook her head.
Philip, there's no need to defend me to me. I know exactly what my complaints were. I made some good points. It certainly wasn't easy being Britt the younger, but it's not really easy being anybody, is it? She thinks it's hard being her, but she hasn't tried being me yet.
You think you have it harder than she does?
Philip asked.
Not harder, just differently hard. You're what, 40 years old physically, 50 or so chronologically?
Yes.
Well, Britt the Younger and I are both 28 physically. She's 39 chronologically. I am 167. She's a little over a quarter my age. Think back to what you were like when you were 13.
Philip thought about it.
It was not pleasant. No need to tell me what you were like, Britt said. The grimace on your face says it all. Now imagine spending the next 50 years of your life living with you at age 13. Or to be fair, let's make it 20. Imagine watching 20-year-old Phil the Younger live the life you led, express the opinions that now make you wince, make the mistakes you remember painfully. Now imagine that you cannot, under any circumstances, interfere, because you know those experiences will make him the person he needs to become.
You.
Well, you in this example, but you're right, I am talking about me.
Philip thought for a moment, then said,
You make a good point, but that doesn't excuse all of your behavior. You're taking credit for her ideas.
I'm her. They're my ideas, too. And when I get credit for them, she gets it as well.
It doesn't feel that way to her.
Britt stood up.
Not yet, but it will.
She offered her hand.
Please come with me, Philip. There's something I'd like to show you.
Philip stood up. And again, Britt the Elder deftly took him by the arm and led him, this time, down the steps of the patio and into the park that made up the center of the city. The sliver of the bowl that was still receiving direct sunlight was bathed in the orange glow that told Philip it was sunset. The reflected light gave the rest of the city a golden aura. Even more of the city's lights had come on, making the entire panorama surrounding them look like a patchwork quilt made out of light. The path through the park was lined with lights, but rather than being hung from poles, they were simply balls of pure white light suspended in space, casting a glow on the path beneath. As they walked, Philip said,
If you remember our trip to see the squid.
Britt looked up at him and interrupted.
Like it was yesterday.
It was today,
Philip said.
Anyway, then you'll remember my theory.
Philip expected that to sour her mood, but it did not. She said,
You mean that I am not actually me?
She let that hang in the air for a moment before correcting herself.
Her, I mean.
Yes, Philip said. And I suppose you're going to tell me that I'm totally wrong.
No, Philip, you're not totally wrong. I think you're about 50% wrong.
Philip said,
Well, that's not so bad, I guess.
Britt said,
I know that she told you how things happen from her point of view. Let me tell you how they happen from mine. I'll make it quick because most of it will sound familiar. I decided to come to Atlantis. I did some research, picked a time and place, and thought, if it isn't there already, I can always jump further back and build it myself. Then I made the jump, and the city, much as you see it now, was here waiting for me, along with a woman who claimed to be me, but older.
Philip said,
But logically, if you built Atlantis, it can't have been here when you got here.
Britt reached up and poked Philip's nose.
Exactly. I think you're right, Philip. I think the program did pause reality and did create an avatar of me that found no Atlantis here, then went back in time and built it according to how it knew I would. Then, when it got back to the point where I turned up, it restarted reality so I could experience it firsthand.
Philip said,
But then after 50 years you go back in time to do what? Make Atlantis again?
No, I make Atlantis for the first time, exactly as the projection of me did before. The program knew exactly what I would do when it built it the first time. It's no surprise that when it was my turn, I did exactly the same thing.
Interesting, Philip said. But still, how can you prove that you're really you and not a simulated you?
I can't. All I can tell you is that I am absolutely certain that I am me. That I used to be her, and that I know everything that has happened to us in the intervening time while she becomes me.
Of course, that's exactly what a projection of you would say as well.
Britt looked up at Philip.
Do I look like a computer projection to you?
Yes, but everybody does, because we both know that that's what we are.
Britt squeezed his arm and said,
Touché.
They walked on in silence for a few moments. Philip saw that they were walking toward the monument that stood in the middle of the park. It was a polished white spire that rose from the center of the park, which was itself the center of the city. It gave the impression of being the spindle around which the city revolved. Philip asked Britt the Elder where they were going.
Exactly where it looks like we're going,
she said.
Philip, I owe you an apology. I've misled you. A long time ago, earlier today to you, I told you that me, was taking credit for her ideas. There's some truth to that, but what I didn't say at the time was that I only really had 2 ideas.
What?
Philip said, stopping in his tracks.
You built this entire city. I mean, Britt the Younger's point is that she had all of the ideas that you built the city with, and that you got the credit for it. Are you telling me that you built this place with only 2 ideas?
Britt laughed pleasantly and started leading Philip forward again.
No, not at all. It took hundreds of ideas to make this place work. All I'm saying is, at the time that I transported back to this time in the first place, I had only had 2 of them. Fabricating objects 1 atom at a time using automated algorithms, and using those objects to create complex mechanisms with few or no actual moving parts. I liked the simplicity of it. It felt very Charles Eames to me. Anyway, I got here and the city was already built, so I just took notice of how everything worked. Later, when I went back in time and started building, I realized how many details there were and how many problems needed to be solved. So I had to fall back on the things I remembered from when I was Britt the Younger.
Are you saying that the ideas just sort of spontaneously happened, and thanks to the loop in your timeline, it's impossible to know which of you came up with them?
Philip asked.
No,
Britt said and stopped walking.
I know exactly who came up with the ideas.
They were directly in front of the obelisk now. At its base, there was a squared section, covered with engraved writing. Britt let go of Philip's arm, gestured toward the monument, and said,
Go read what it says.
Philip walked toward the monument, eventually getting close enough to make it out. It read, "The city of Atlantis would neither exist nor function without the contributions of the following people." Beneath that were a great many names listed in alphabetical order. Philip scanned the list. He, Martin, and Gwen were all listed, as were Jeff and, strangely, Jeff's trainee Roy. As he read, Britt walked up beside him.
"When I first got here and saw this list, I figured it was just people who had been supportive or offered the occasional bit of advice. It wasn't until I actually started building the place that I realized these are all people from whom I copied some idea, some bit of code, some functioning idea, and incorporated it into the city."
Philip turned on Britt.
"You mean you stole ideas from all of these people?"
Britt just smiled.
"I don't think stole is the right word, Philip. You've made all of your work available to the wizards in your community to use. You haven't attempted to patent anything. You're not exploiting any of your ideas for profit, except for creating money from thin air, of course, but you're hardly the only one of us to come up with that.
I am giving you credit. Part of this summit's purpose is so I can talk to the leader of each group and show them the monument. If I wanted to steal ideas, I could just claim to have thought of them first. After all, I did use them first."
Philip put up a hand to stop her.
"Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm a little sensitive about people taking credit for my ideas."
Britt took his arm again and squeezed it reassuringly.
"I know. It's one of the things you and younger me had in common. You'll notice that your old friend Jimmy's name isn't on there."
"Good,"
Philip said.
"So what ideas of mine did you end up using?"
"Two things. One, you know the interface you created to help you manipulate the file? You call it the shell. We call ours the interface. But if you look at it, you'll see that it functions in much the same way. That's an idea that has caught on much more widely than I think you know. All of the communities have some version of it. Some even use chunks of your original source code."
"Really?"
"A good idea spreads fast."
Philip liked the idea that he had made life better for many people. He couldn't resist asking,
"What's the other idea you used?"
Britt smirked and said,
"You mean you haven't noticed the lavatories? All of the restrooms in the city work on the same principle as the one in your home."
Philip's facilities consisted of a simple latrine with a 30-foot pit. But at the bottom of the pit, there was a portal that instantly transported anything that fell through it away. Where away had changed recently because a statue he particularly disliked had been removed. Currently, away was a local farmer's fertilizer supply, which the farmer appreciated, although he was not pleased with the velocity with which the fresh fertilizer would arrive. It led to his fertilizer pile being messier than he liked, a concept which fascinated Philip.
"Where do your lavatories lead?"
Philip asked. Britt asked,
"You haven't had a chance to look at the stars at night since you got here, have you?"
"No."
"I suggest you and younger me do so. Not tonight, as I remember. I'm still a little shaken, what with someone repeatedly trying to kill me and all. But soon. I think you'll notice that we have quite a few more shooting stars than you're used to.
Now that you know why, I doubt you'll find it as romantic as you would have before." They walked in silence for a moment, giving Philip the opportunity to notice that she had started leading him away from the monument and back to her patio. They were most of the way back, and he hadn't even noticed it. He remembered that he had business with Britt the Elder, and he needed to tend to it soon.
"You mentioned the attempts on Britt's life,"
Philip said.
"Yes."
"So,"
Philip said,
"clearly you're aware of them."
"Oh, Philip, I remember them like they were yesterday."
Philip said,
"Two of them were."
"Not for me. For me, they were a long time ago. But like I said, I remember them all too well. It's terribly disturbing to know that someone wants you dead, and every attempt is a clear reminder. The statues, the submersible, the thing tomorrow, oh, ghastly."
"What thing tomorrow?"
Philip said.
"You'll see. Don't worry. Obviously, I survive."
Philip sputtered.
But why? If you remember exactly what happens, why not tell us who's doing it?"
Because I don't.
Don't? Or won't?
Both. I won't now, because I remember that I didn't then.
Philip stopped walking and gently but firmly removed his arm from Britt the Elder's grasp.
So you're not going to lift a finger to help, he said.
No, I'm going to help, as Britt the Younger. I remember going to quite a bit of trouble to figure out who's doing this, but I also remember that Britt the Elder stood by and did nothing, and now it's my turn to play that part, unsatisfying as it is.
Philip shook his head.
I don't have a lot of respect for that.
Britt nodded in agreement.
Neither did I. The whole thing caused a lot of resentment on my part. It took a long time for me to get over it. But eventually I understood and forgave myself.
Philip said, whatever, and started walking again. Britt walked beside him.
I know this isn't the way you hoped this conversation would go,
Britt said in a soft, pleasant tone.
But you'll see in time that you couldn't realistically expect it to end any other way. After all, Philip, you still don't believe that I'm really Britt. You still think that I'm a false projection. I've noticed that you still refer to me as two separate people.
And I suppose you resent it,
Britt said.
Not at all.
And stopped walking while softly grasping Philip's elbow in a way that made him involuntarily stop and face her. She softly cradled his cheek with her hand.
I don't resent it at all. You don't want me to be Britt the Younger's future, because when I was Britt the Younger, I didn't want me to be my future. You only doubt me out of a sense of loyalty to me. How could I find that anything but endearing?
Philip looked into Britt's eyes and said,
You confuse me terribly.
She kept her hand on his cheek, looked back into his eyes, and said,
I find that endearing, too.